Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. We thank Joe for that beautiful selection. Amen. That's good. I thank him. I thank him. Amen. Amen. While you're standing this morning, just want to piggyback. Hey, let's let Christ be magnified this morning. In Psalms 23, I woke up this morning, it was Psalms 23:6 was on my mind. And it just reminded me that surely goodness, mercy shall follow, I'm going to say us, all. Now, all mean all. All the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. O merciful God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Being in the land of the living, hallelujah. I see all of you made roll call this morning. Oh, God blessed us with another day. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you. But Lord, we don't want to be selfish, Lord. We want you to bless others, Lord. Maybe somebody that traveling or maybe having a procedure, some child or somebody, or maybe couldn't get up this morning. Lord, we want you to bless them where they are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we like the centurion. We can say, oh, Lord, just speak the word. Lord, just speak the word. Hallelujah. Speak the word, Lord, and they shall be healed. Oh, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, speak the word. Somebody need to hear the word this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody on the street corner, or some child, or somebody right behind the corner store need to hear the word this morning. And God, we thank you. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all agree by saying amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated, amen. Thank God this morning, boy. Let's give the choir a hand, I tell you. It's a blessing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My job today is to speak. In James, another chapter this today, amen. We just thank God for his mercy this morning. And today started with chapter 3, verse 1, says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, woman, able to bridle the tongue, the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a small member but boasts great things. See how great a forest of a little fire kindle. We thank the Lord this morning. Thank him. Glad to see everybody here. Amen. Man, look at all them angels. So when you see the open spots, man, they filled with angels. Amen, amen, amen. I was in a church, and maybe about two or three. Big church, nice church. And that's what the preacher said. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. You sent all your angels. The church is filled. Believe it or not, the church is filled. Amen, amen. Now here, I'm going to get started here. I'm going to try to get in the mind of James. Hallelujah. James said in the beginning, he said, my brother, he's talking to us. That was the Savior. He said, let not many of you become teachers. Hallelujah. Knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. James emphasizes that responsibility to come with our words and with our tongue. Amen. At times, new believers are eager at times to become teachers or even preachers. Hallelujah. They want to tell everybody they meet when, where, or how it happened. Where did change begun? Amen. And in their lives, even on the job, they're telling friends, colleagues. Even at times, some get so bold, they start beginning their own home Bible class. Amen. But ready, eager to save the whole world. And James here is giving a strong warning here. Hallelujah. That when serving in an official teacher capacity, hallelujah, you will be held to a greater accountability. Oh, praise his holy name. Greater judgment. We must understand that we all, how many is all? All, hallelujah. We all stumble, folks, in many ways. Due to our fallen nature, we right now continue to stumble in many ways. Hallelujah. I know many of you might think, oh, Elder Luster got it together. No, no, no. Every day, his fresh anointing every day. Oh, his grace and his mercy, hallelujah, just come and just spread over us. That's why we can make it. That's why I got up this morning, hallelujah. But we must understand here, we stumble in many ways, but one of the ways here we're going to talk about is our tongue, hallelujah. Verse 5 said the tongue is a very small part of the body. Hallelujah. But yet, it boasts of great things. In other words, what he's saying, no, the tongue give both good and bad. Hallelujah. Or it'll praise God and next thing you want to curse. Hallelujah. It can be excessively proud and boast and bragging about things, even by itself. Hallelujah. But when it comes to the condition of our human heart, folks, I just want to remind you, we are a work in progress. We are a work in progress, but God is doing a great thing in you. Hallelujah. We are being saved. Hallelujah. Being saved daily, ongoing process of sanctification. Hallelujah. Believers, it's growing in their relationship, not only the relationship with each other, but the relationship with Christ, being more Christ-like. That's the goal, right? Being more Christ-like with the help of the Holy Spirit. Daily being renewed, hallelujah, in a spiritual growth, transformation. So James said, if anyone does not stumble in what he says is a perfect man, meaning he's developed, mature, him and maybe in his and her faith, born again, believers, being able to bridle the whole tongue. Now, I said all of that, but you know that he was just saying that hypothetically. Perfect. Amen. But he's trying to make a point here. Amen. But if a person who able to control, he will be perfect, really. And we would know that, and in what we read and how we come together with each other and to begin to be a blessing to each other. Now, in James 3, chapter 3, 8 says this. No man can tame the tongue. No man, no woman, no one can tame the tongue. Do we all agree with that?
Amen,
amen, amen. 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 But with God, Luke chapter 1, 37 remind us, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. Nothing will be impossible. James chapter 1, 26 says this. If anyone think himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue. Now, key word is bridle. Deceive his own. Because the tongue is a wrestling evil, deadly poison. Believer must, what did James say back there? Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger. In other words, in bridling your tongue, we must exercise control. This is what this is about this morning. Control. Because there are consequences for an untrained or untamed tongue. Amen? Amen? All right. What does the untamed tongue do? What it does, it's out of control. Amen? Destruction. Speak without restraint. Negative attributes that can ignite a forest fire. Potential of disagreement, division, damage of relationship. Now, we know that because when we spoke earlier, I think it was in a few books back there, we understand Paul had that problem. Amen? It was a serious problem to a church to where he had to send Timothy. Timothy was like the fireman. He had to hose out the fire in these churches because men started to dislike each other, start talking about each other, begin to almost come into blows with each other. Oh, yes. But that's why Timothy was so good at what he does, because Paul knew with his perseverance, his patience, that he was able to do the job. Amen. Now, Proverbs 18, 21 says this. He says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's what he says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Significant impact on our word, both positive and negative. Amen. David said this in Psalms 39, verse 1. David says this. David said, I will guard my ways, that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth. I will even put a muzzle on so long as the wicked are in my presence. What he's saying here, he says that he will not be a part of this issue by speaking out of term or with a tongue that is untamed. He's, you know how sometimes we go to bed, we wake up, and sometimes you don't know what spirit that day. Oh, yeah, I know you went to sleep one way. We knew you. We had fun. We talked. But you got up this morning, you didn't say good morning. You passed by, had an attitude. Now, what happened? We got along fine. We hugged each other. We shook hands with each other. So who are you this morning? Who are you this morning? See, we all are vulnerable to that. You never know when we sleep, when things come in and how. I know you might feel that you're okay, everything is fine. Even some preachers or teachers get up and think their word and everything's right on point. And sometimes it just maybe just a little something that just make everything out of order. You know, a pilot, when he's flying, he have to know there are rules in there, because as he fly, to every, I think, 3 miles or something, he can be off course. His bearing could be 1 degree. It all depends on the distance. As he going, he can be 10, 5 miles off course. So he must what? He must begin to be able to correct or be able to balance sparing. It's sort of like what the tongue, amen? At times we have to muzzle, hallelujah. You can't give everybody a piece of your mind. We need our mind. I wish somebody had told me earlier, I would have had more mind. Amen. Amen. But this is what is being said. And David said, he said, at times the spirit of evil will come in our thoughts, our ideas. And this is what I was just saying. So he demonstrates his concern of controlling his word. That's important, folks. That's so important. If you don't get anything, you have to understand this. Why, Elder, is that important? Because our tongue is our badge. It tells us who we are. It tells us who it tells on us, amen, whether we good or bad, whether we are knowledgeable or ignorant. Matter of fact, if I had sat down and maybe not opened my mouth this morning, y'all probably think I was a scholar. But I had to get up and say something. He said, oh, okay, he may not be a scholar, but he nice. The tongue will tell on you. Words, amen. Matter of fact, the Bible goes on. And it tells us that our tongue, not only it's let others know whether we are knowledgeable or ignorant, but it let us know that we are saved or unsaved. Because, no, if you don't practice what you preach, that what's in the heart will come out. The tongue is like our table of content. It's a window into your heart. Amen. Into your character. Words reflect our inner thoughts, folks. Belief, attribute. It builds up, it tears down. Amen. A lot of us know that because many relationships have been torn down. Amen. But the word also can encourage us, heal us, bring life and death. This is what James is saying. James said, a perfect man. Hallelujah. Have ability to avoid harmful or hurtful or unnecessary words if he exercises spiritual maturity. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise right there. Amen. Psalms 38:28, David says, he declared. He said, my tongue, I will proclaim the Lord's righteousness, his praise all the day long. Then he went on, he says, only speak positive things in my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. For the spirit of the Lord, David says, the spirit of the Lord at times speak, hallelujah, to him. Matter of fact, in this, he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke, and his word was on my tongue. Now, I'm going to get to the meat of what James was talking about and why James was so adamant in what he was saying. You know, we want folks to be their very best and become what they would God give them, and you know, even if working in their gifts, when it comes to working in the God vineyard. Amen. But there is a warning. There is a warning. And many of us as preachers have read this, and we have many times our heart been warned about this. Listen, I want you to listen to this. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Now you got to understand, this is at the time of Ezekiel the prophet, and when God had put him over the house of Israel. And this is what he said. This is what he says to them. He said, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways." Hallelujah. The wicked ways to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at your hand. Come on, folks. That's why it's so important. That's just why we preach, because God ain't playing. When you step up to the plate, when you say, "I'm a teacher," or "I'm an anointed preacher," whatever it is, you better be serious, because your life depended on it. You can't play, because souls is at risk. Somebody could turn around and change their ways if you do the right thing. If you tell the truth. If you begin to work and practice and see what you got to do. I want y'all to listen to me here. This is so serious. If you're going to get involved in an official a capacity of teaching or preaching, don't do it if you don't have a prayer life. Don't do it. If you don't have a prayer life, don't do it. Because how are you going to hear the word of the Lord? He ain't going to talk to you while you eat a cheeseburger. He ain't going to talk to you while you playing your video machine. He's not going to even talk to you as you going down the road and you playing the Isaac Brothers. Or just going to show you how old I am. I don't know none of the new ones. But listen what I'm saying here. You got to have a prayer life. You have to have a prayer life, because he's going to tell you some things. Hallelujah. I remember about a month or something ago, Eric was just on my mind. And I began to pray. And he's here today. Shannon, I'm glad to see y'all, because one thing you must remember, when we was at Jaws, that's practically the biggest thing we did was pray. We had spent more hours in the prayer room than in the sanctuary. Amen. You have to have a prayer life. You got to know how to pray. And not only know how to pray, don't get down and get right up, because if you do all the talking and not all the listening, you done missed something. You have missed something. He got something to tell you. And he know if you don't give it, that person's life may not be saved. That's what James was saying. It's fine. Oh, yeah, sure. Preacher, teacher, no problem. But you better make sure you come right. You better make sure that you get prepared and be prepared, because God getting ready, he wants to save souls through you. But if you play around, if you're not serious, what he told that prophet, their blood be required of you. Hallelujah. Now, he said that. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to go on a little further. And yet, he said, if you warn the wicked and he do not turn from his wicked ways, nor from his wickedness, he shall die in his iniquity. But you know what? You have delivered your soul. I mean, in other words, you done your part. You done. You done your part. But make sure you do your part. Amen. Amen. But it goes on here in verse 20, it says, again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block. Wait a minute. We be blaming the devil all the time. Oh, that devil. It's not always the devil. Not always the devil. When you don't get your way, it's not always because of you not doing something and God not hearing you and everything. But God knows your beginning. He knows your end. And a lot of times, what I have learned at times, that when God is an on-time God, it's not that he ain't going to bless you. It's just it ain't yet. Not yet. It's on the way, but not yet. Just hang in there. A lot of you have prayed for many things. You have asked God for many things. Just keep on praying. It's on the way. It just ain't yet. Amen. And the Bible here is telling us, he say sometimes God put that stumbling block in their way. And he said here, he say, and if the man shall die because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will be required at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live. Oh, praise this holy name, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. That's what James is saying. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's warning. The warning. Sure, it's wonderful. You want to tell everybody. You want to teach everybody. But first of all, it might be just only 2 months you've been saved. Or maybe a year. You know, everybody on a different level. You know, I know it takes seasons sometimes to be ready, to be qualified, to be a preacher or a teacher. Amen? And everybody comes, don't necessarily mean they've been called. Some folks just went. And you must understand, this is what James is saying. This is what he's saying. Because your lives depends on it. Oh, praise this holy name. Oh, I'm going in the wrong direction. I did that already. All right. This is why James said, let not many of you become teachers. There will be strict judgment. And as I said before, and I underlined it in my notes, you must have a prayer life. Because you today, just like in Ezekiel day, God would direct with them. No, he was on hands-on. But today, who you hear from is the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have to know the Holy Spirit. If you don't talk to him enough, how are you going to know his voice? You don't even know his voice. He's speaking, and you're ignoring. You're thinking, oh, it's just that pork I ate last night. And he's saying something to you. He might be a warning, maybe to you, a family member. Hallelujah. But he talks to us constantly. If you spend time with him, you'll begin to know him. You'll begin an intimate relationship. Hallelujah. Preaching, empowered. The Holy Spirit will empower believers, filling them with the spirits, setting them apart for God's purpose, where God can tell them things, reveal them things. You know what I found out? This might be a shock to y'all. But then again, it might not. If you love something long enough and strong enough, they will share their secrets. It will share its secrets. If you really love them, I'm not just talking to talk, but really love them, spending time with them. In their presence, he will share his secrets. He don't share it to everybody. He don't share it to everybody. Only to those in that intimate relationship. Some, you got to understand, some of us are special. Have you ever went into a jewelry store? You come in, all these bling blings, right, everything right in the front, just glittering away, and you go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, this is so wonderful. Oh, yes, 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 I got to have this, I got to have this. And the jeweler says, you know what, yeah, this is fine, but I got something in the back. It's so special, potent, to where I can't put it out here. Hold on, wait till I come back. And he come back, open up this box, and you say, oh, my Lord. That's what God is to some of us. We spend so much time on our knees. How many know you get victories on your knees? Most victory I have got was on my knees. On my knees. You remember the story in the Bible when Jehoshaphat and all these other tribes were coming against him, and he hurried up, was scared to death, and was taking all his soldiers and all his folks with all his fighting tools and everything, and he put them in the front and getting ready to go and fight. God looked at him and said, really? You think you can take on that? He said, Joe, look, take your warriors, put them to the back. Take your praisers, your worshipers, put them in the front. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? You take your tools, your war tools, you put it away, you put it in the back. But when you get on your knees, when you try out, when you say, Lord, if you can't fix it, it won't be fixed. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he hears you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, this is how you do. This is how you get victory. Hallelujah. Now, I even got a scripture. And I didn't stay up all night for this. 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14 says this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn. I got you. Yeah. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Oh, praise this holy name. And will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, come on, give them a hand, praise. Y'all got to give them a hand, praise. Oh, that's how you get victory. Oh, hallelujah. And he didn't stop there. And he said, and my eyes will be open. My ears, tensely. And your prayer, hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, was of the church. Now, we are in the new, amen. So, in the New Testament, who are the church? We are the church. We are the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to be in a building. You don't have to be inside. You can be outside. You can be driving. Hallelujah. Oh, if my people. Oh, praise this holy name. Oh, God, that make me feel good. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my faith, and I guess that's the secret. James said this. Watch this. See, we put bits in horses' mouth. We know about ships, big old ships. Now, he said they're driven by forced wind, but that was in James' day. Now they got engines and all the other stuff, but they still have a rudder. I was in the Navy, and I was a helmsman. Back in the day when we used to have duties where everybody had to take turn at the helm. We used to have a big old compass with all the bearings, and we'll stand back with this big old wheel. You know, y'all seen the movies with the big wheel? And we used to have to turn it, because what happens is, I know in the Chesapeake, in Virginia, Chesapeake Bay, and even in Detroit River, the current is so bad until it just won't stay. It's shifting all over the place, just shifting back and forth. And the helmsman, what he there, he have to steer. Every time that the arrow go, he have to take it the other way. If it go, he have to do it the other way. And so he have to balance. So if you're really good at it, what you do, you don't wait till it moves. You begin to keep the turns on it. You control it. You don't let it control you. You control it. So what you do, you put the turn where it can go this way because you know how much to take off. And so you do that back and forth, and it get to the point to where the needle will just stay right there. But yet you. You're driving the ship. What you must understand is this. Right here, just like the bits in the horse's mouth. It's all about control. Control. That's what it's about, control. And so, what James is talking about to us, he's telling us this. He said, like bits in horse's mouth, like a ship rudder. They turn on command. Amen. God, through Jesus Christ, put his spirit in us. And we have a new spirit and a new heart. That's what Job says. Amen. 2:28 says that God poured out his spirit on all his people. Sons and daughter will prophesy. Old men will have dreams. Young men shall see vision. We are in that new era where God's spirit is accessible to all if we obey him. Just like we do the horse, sis, and the sheep, God can turn you. He can guide you. But the bottom line is, line him to control you. I think I might did my job today. How about that? But the meat. If you don't get nothing else, the meat. And what James was saying was in Ezekiel chapter 3. He was warning simply because you can put your life in jeopardy. Yes, I want to do the right thing. I want to tell folks. I want to help folks. But first, get it down pat yourself. Not only that, ain't nothing wrong with waiting a while. First of all, you have to be converted. Yes, God fill us. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I believe the Lord put his spirit in all of us. But new spirit in that sinful body have to be trained. You have to learn to listen. And if you go back in James, that's all we've been talking about. That's all book of James. How to be able to take what God has given us this day and apply it to where we can get the very best of God and he can get the very best of us. Folks, that's all I got.